Okay, you're a young man. You're 82 years old.
82 years, yes.
And you're involved with business today,
right,
doing things and making things happen.
Right.
As you look back, is there any one particular thing or two things that you're really most proud of?
Well, you know, of course I'm proud of our nursery. Yes, I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of the J5, now the Nature Conservancy's property. I'm proud of Candy Creek Ranch. My childhood friend Dave Whitlock, who is a world expert fly fisherman, and I have built a little trout stream on Candy Creek Ranch. Dave lives on the ranch now. I'm real proud of that. It's beautiful. The winery, of course, that worked too. Like I say, I've been blessed, and I've had lots of good things happen. My oldest kids, I told you, their mother lives in Tahlequah. My third child, Eric, is living in California. He's involved in the wine business like I used to be. He also does rehab building, and he's real fascinated with taking old properties and fixing them up, which I am too. But his mother passed away last year. And then Julie, with our two younger children, she and I are right here together in Midtown Tulsa.
You come from nothing, almost.
Well, I wouldn't say that. As it turned out, my mother was an excellent person. My father turned out to be an excellent person. So I didn't come from nothing, but as far as financially, yeah.
Somewhat meager.
Meager, yeah.
And now you've come into the category of a wealthy person.
I've seen both sides of the tracks, John, and I like this side a lot better.
Right. When you sensed that happening to you, was that when you were 30 and you wanted to leave Greenleaf and go to California? And somewhere along the line, you must have thought, wow, this is happening to me, and I can feel the wealth that's going to come to me.
Well, you always have doubts that, well, it can't really happen, but I think it's going to happen, but not really. You know, you always wonder.
But it did, and so
it
there
did.
Were days when you thought, wow, this is going to happen to me.
Absolutely. I don't know how it happened, John, but it did.
Do you think wealth changes a person to any degree?
I do, definitely.
And how?
Well, it changes your priorities, for one thing. And once you have your money made, you can be a lot more generous and giving, I think. Whereas when you were trying to make it, you were pretty tight-fisted, just trying to get it done. Yeah, I think it changes you in that way. I think you become more sensitive to the needs and desires of others. Having money is just a lot easier than not having it.
I think that people like yourself who actually made your money, you earned it.
Yes.
As opposed to the next generation comes along and didn't earn it, but received it.
I call them trust funders. They never actually earned the money, but it was gifted to them. And a lot of them don't turn out so well. Now, there's some that do. They use it as a springboard, but a lot of them use it as an auger down. I've seen a lot of that. Did I tell you I have two grandchildren as well?
No.
Okay, I have two grandchildren. My daughter Brenda in Tahlequah has a son, Weston, and he's 31, or will be this month. And then I have a granddaughter who grew up in Laguna Beach, California, with my oldest daughter. Her name's Olivia, and she's 30.
You're in place. You could be a great-grandfather here pretty soon.
Could have been a long time ago. I've urged them not to make that happen to her. My mother had a great saying about that when she became a great-grandmother. She came up to me one day, and she said, John, you know, it doesn't bother me being a grandmother, or it doesn't even bother me being a great-grandmother. But the very idea that I'm the mother of a grandfather kind of gets to me.
Right.